Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What form is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
Final singles match at the Ryder Cup yesterday didn't exactly scream box office when the draw came out, and given that the overall contest was long done and dusted by the time Daniel Berger and Matt Fitzpatrick finished duking it out, I feel any Euro viewers who stayed with the broadcast through to the end deserve to be seriously considered as a wild card pick for the 2023 event in Rome. And that is commitment to the cause. That is the viewing equivalent of a Shane Lowry fucking come on, or an emotional Rory McIlroy interview. Simply the act of continuing to watch as the boys in blue get bludgeoned all night long is a sure sign of your passion for your continent and for its flagship professional golf tour. Hi everyone, welcome to the show. Hi Murph, hi Ken.
Hey Owen, how's it going? Hey,
Murph, I didn't know you actually made it over there to the golf. Fair play.
Feels like Medina. Oh, oh, oh. Good times coming Europe's way. Ole! Ole!
Yeah, you're people, Murph.
You said that out to me earlier today, Owen, and it made me hate myself for watching to the bitter end of the Matt Fitzpatrick, Daniel Berger.
Oh, you did watch right through to the end, yeah. I put on Match Day 2 by that stage.
Team Europe.
God. Yeah, I did, Owen. I don't know what I was... I think I was waiting for someone to really stick the boot into Padraig Harrington, because I thought maybe that's something that might happen. But it didn't happen. Or it didn't happen to any great extent that I saw, anyway.
And you mean people in the Sky commentary? You were waiting for Butch to go off on him? Nah, that was never going to happen. In fact, it was quite the opposite. It's you're being told about the abuse that Harrington's going to get, but I don't know when that abuse.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to give him the abuse.
Maybe Ken, who's in this podcast too. Maybe Ken's ready to go hard on Captain Padraig. Butch Harmon said he's been
over
a great
captain. Over the top of the golf ball on Padraig Harrington. Yeah, that's what Ken's intending to do.
Yeah. I don't know if you can say he's been a great captain either, considering he's led the team to a record defeat, but how much... As Simon said, what did Simon tweet? I don't understand. He made them. He got them into cheesehead hats. How can Europe possibly get trashed after that sort of man management?
Feels like Medina. Oh, oh,
but commiserations. You know, you're going to say I sent you that clip on, and you hated yourself a little bit after I sent it for being so involved.
Well, yeah. I mean, it basically demeaned in 1 7-second clip. Demeaned basically everything that I did this weekend. Which was watch the Ryder Cup.
Every decision you made that allowed you to watch so much Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I watched an absurd amount of Ryder Cup. I mean, even by the shameful standards of... Oh, God. Even by the shameful standards of me watching a lot of sport at the weekend, this weekend was truly a low moment. The amount of it that I watched was just absurd.
But I thought...
Because it was over. It was over on Friday night.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you could have switched it off at that point and not missed anything.
You would have missed Shane Lowry on Saturday night for one.
I said to Bo before I hit the putt, I said, I'm made for this. I said it to him. I said, Bo, I'm made for this. This is it. And I didn't know I was going to hold it, but I knew I was going to try my best. And I'm so happy it went in.
Shane Lowry on Saturday night did kind of rescue the whole thing. It did, to be honest. Because it was utterly brilliant. It was a proper gutsy, having put his drive into the bunker, having a chip out, like to get an up and down from whatever it was, 140 yards or something, to win a match on the 18th in the Ryder Cup. I mean, that's a moment that he's been waiting for a very, very long time. And I mean, I tweeted something like, I actually could give less of a fuck about the rest of the Ryder Cup now that Shane Lowry has had that brilliant moment. I mean, as it turned out, he was still really upset after losing his singles game yesterday. But I mean, I think it's fair to say he was, you know, he was one of Europe's better players. There's no doubt about that.
To do that as well, having, you know, because he tried his best to carry Rory McIlroy in the Friday four balls. He was handed Tyrrell Hatton this time. Potter Carrington physically jockeying Hatton up onto Lowry's back and then tasking Larry with carrying his teammate around the golf course while trying to make enough birdies to put a point on the board for Europe. It was impressive stuff. A task that Larry was more than up for. Can we please play a little compilation of his whoops and his hollers?
Yes! Yes!
Just to win the hole. Oh, and he runs it right in there. And he's got his hackles up.
Excuse me. I must apologise for the bad language you may have heard there. Sorry again about that. I mean, I know it's 12:30 at night, but I still feel honour bound to apologise for Shane Lowry's bad language there. Is there anything more annoying than Sky Sports commentators doing this when it's literally 10:30, 11:00? Midnight.
We've talked about this before, and people have been in touch. I say people. I'd like to remember the person who once got in touch with me and said that actually people in TV companies do get in trouble for this kind of language going out, and they do have to cover their asses a bit. It does seem a bit ridiculous, but there you go.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Owen. Whatever about the live fucking come on from Shane Lowry there. Sky Sports played a montage into an ad break an hour and a half after that putt went in that included Shane saying, fucking come on, and then apologised for Shane Lowry's bad language on the other side of the ad break. Like, all right, dickheads, you played it. It's an hour and a half ago that he actually said that. So if you can't dumb down the microphone for his F word or bleep it out if you're that much of a shrinking violet when it comes to bad language, then don't blame Shane Lowry. That one's on you, lads.
The only thing that is more difficult for Sky pundit or commentator to stomach, Murph, than the bad language emanating from Shane Lowry's filthy Irish mouth is the American fans booing. Don't know if you saw this. The American fans start booing the European players. Basically, the American fans start behaving like American Ryder Cup golf fans, exactly as they were being built up to do during the week on Sky. And then suddenly it's all. Oh no! This is not. What were they saying? They were saying something. Europe are the guests this week. We can do without this. It won't happen in Rome. That's for sure. All that kind of stuff. And the sanctimony continued with the DeChambeau incident in the Saturday four balls. This is what happens when you watch multiple hours, to be fair to Sky, when you watch wall-to-wall coverage of a sporting event for 3 days, things start gnawing at you a little bit. Maybe it would happen with any TV station on any tournament.
Around hour six, yeah. These seemingly minor details really start to...
The DeChambeau thing, and to be honest, this didn't annoy me. I thought it was hilarious. I actually find the sanctimony that comes out of the commentary box in their golf very funny to watch. So he had a three-foot putt, which he felt should have been conceded by his faceless European opponents, who cares who they were. So they said, no, you're going to have to take that. He takes the putt, strokes it in, then he lays his club on the ground to show the length of the putt, how short the putt was, as he stares back at the European players. In other words, you shouldn't have made me do that. You've disrespected me. Now, this 600-yard drive that's about to be bombed down the next fairway is all on you. It was described as classless by Butch Harmon, out of order by Paul McGinley. Wasn't remotely funny either, says Ewan Murray. Well, actually, I was laughing. So, I mean, it's a straw poll of one, but I found that incident quite funny. I found almost everything Bryson DeChambeau did over the last few days absolutely hilarious and very watchable. There was times I was catching up on stuff. I'd missed parts and I was trying to flick through as much as you can. But every time, this is just a visceral reaction. Every time Bryson DeChambeau was taking a shot, I stopped fast forwarding and I watched exactly what happened. And I watched for the reactions of himself and the people around him and the commentators before then. No disrespect to the Patrick Cantleys of this world, fast forwarding through your no doubt excellent shots being taken by Patrick Cantley. Sorry, there's a lot there, Murph. I know we both have a lot to get off our chests regarding 3 days of Ryder Cup, and it's all unspooling.
I mean, well, the fans and Bryson DeChambeau, it's kind of the same thing, really. You know, if you say that the Ryder Cup is like nothing else in golf, I mean, then this is basically what you're talking about. You know, you are talking about, you know, Shane Lowry celebrating wildly on the 10th. I mean, you know, it means a lot for Shane Lowry to hole a putt on the 10th green on a Sunday in the British, in a British Open that he's about to win. But he doesn't celebrate like that in the British Open. He doesn't do it, you know. And, like, that's fine because it's a totally different competition. We ask players to... Like, players are off the leash to do that sort of thing. So if Bryson DeChambeau wants to do that, I mean, yeah. It comes down to Ken's favourite Donald Trump quote, where he basically says, only rich people should be allowed to play golf. I think I'm in a minority, but I feel differently about golf. I feel golf should be an aspirational game, something people aspire to. People should come to golf. Golf shouldn't come to them. Golf should be something beautiful, elegant, something people aspire to play eventually. It may be elitist, and perhaps that's what golf needs. Let golf be elitist. When I say aspire, that's a positive word. Let people work hard and aspire to someday be able to play golf, to afford to play it.
I don't think I've ever heard that quote before.
Oh, that's a really quote. I've never heard it.
Shall
either,
I continue? They're trying to teach golf to people who will never be able to really play it. They're trying too hard. Because of the expense of playing and the land needed, golf is never going to be basketball, where all you need is a court. All these great athletes, you know what they do when they retire? They do nothing but play golf. Basketball players, hockey players, football players, all they want to do is golf. Let it be aspirational instead of bringing it down by trying to get players to do it when they're 15 years old and they're also learning other sports. I think it's very damaging to the game. So, you know, I think that's... It is hard for Sky Sports to get out of that, or any golf broadcaster, when it's the Ryder Cup, to get out of that kind of frame. I'm not saying they all actually think this, of course, but it is kind of hard to get out of that frame of mind when, you know, at the end of the day, how many PGA Tour events do you watch on 8 or 10 hours a day of? Probably not that many if you're like me.
Yeah.
But when you're sitting down and it's the Ryder Cup weekend, you are going to be watching it. And that's, you know, if Bryson DeChambeau is out there entertaining the likes of you on, well... I don't think it's any bad thing.
We had Irishmen front and centre in this debacle, for better and worse. Rory McIlroy lost. It was a 3 out of 3. He was obviously dropped for the Saturday foursomes in the first couple of days. Then he gained some consolation by winning a singles match and then let it all pour out of him in the post. Not bad language. Actually, there was a bit of bad language in his American interview where he says, I think it was along the lines, I don't give a shit about winning my singles. No, he couldn't give a shit about some element anyway.
The individual honours.
Yeah, you know, it's all about the team.
Outside of, yeah.
But I don't think there's any language to apologise for here. There is a hell of a lot of emotion in his post-round interview on Sky.
Sorry, no, take your time. I know it's tough. There's a scoreboard behind us and these are incredibly tough circumstances, especially with Padraig here.
I love being a part of this team. I love my teammates so much, and I should have done more for them this week. I'm glad I put a point on the board for Europe today, but you know, I just can't wait to get another shot at this. It is. It is by far the best experience in golf, and I hope little boys and girls watching this today aspire to play in this event or the Solheim Cup, because there's nothing better than being a part of a team, especially the bond that we have in Europe. And no matter what happens after this, I'm proud of every single one of those players that played this week. I'm proud of our captain, our vice captains. You know, I wish I could have done a little more for the team. I'm glad I got a point on the board today, but it's been a tough week.
I was not expecting that. He got emotional before he even... It wasn't one of those where he starts speaking and then suddenly it comes out of nowhere. Before he even answered his first question, you could see this is going to be a bit of a struggle. It reminded me a bit of Katie Taylor in Rio, you know, in 2016. But with Katie, it didn't surprise me as much. I mean, not against somebody we don't necessarily see being emotional very often, but the fact that the Olympics was everything for her. That was her entire sport and a huge part of her identity. Whereas I didn't quite realise, for all the guff you hear in advance, I didn't quite realise the Ryder Cup actually mattered that much to Rory McIlroy, but apparently so.
And you know, Shane, like, there's the Ryder Cup tweeted out a video of Shane Lowry, I think, late last night or early this morning, where he's just like in floods of tears at the end of his game. Ian Poulter walks off to the side of the green, and his like shoulders are heaving. He's sobbing so hard after he won his singles match. I mean, yeah, it is kind of like mad to see just how invested these lads are. I mean, and as we said, like, they had plenty of time to get used to the idea of losing this Ryder Cup, you know, because it really was so ominous on Friday night that all of these brilliant golfers that the US have, like nine of the top 11 golfers or whatever it is, all of them inside the top 21 in the world, all of them playing absolutely brilliant, unbelievably fired up. I mean, it was really, really ominous from like Friday at 8 or 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So they did have quite a bit of time to get used to the idea that they were getting a bit of a hosing. But yeah, I mean, it is. It's odd. You know, I think it is kind of, you know, everyone kind of says, you know, oh, it's a team and you're playing for a team and it means so much more, you know, to win as a team. But I think also it takes a degree of getting used to for these European players to really see that, oh my God, I've let my team down so badly here. And like that emotion, it's not just the, you know, the selflessness of, you know, it being not just about you. There is also a mindset change that has to happen where when you play terribly, it's not just you that suffers. It's actually everyone else as well. And I think that maybe accounts for some of the emotion that we saw, not just from Rory, but also from the other guys.
Even individually, it can't do much for the ego to be sitting there taking pastings day after day from the Americans. Even if you take the team element out of it, there's an embarrassment factor there, I would say. But that's the way it went down. A record win for the Americans. What Simon had said is, this thrashing makes no sense. Team Europe wore cheese heads. So you can't say Padraig Harrington left any stone unturned in his preparation of the team. But it didn't go so well. Ken, any ideas? What sort of punishment? I mean, there should be a punishment for letting down the European tour and indeed the continent of Europe like this. What to do with the Padraig Harrington problem?
Maybe he has to be interviewed by Paul Kimmage every day for the next 6 months. Like, it'll get to the stage where Kimmage is physically scooping his brains out with a spoon, like rooting through them like Basil Fawlty looking for the duck in the trifle.
They have a very good relationship, Padraig Harrington and Paul Kimmage. So I'm sure he will grant Paul Kimmage the first interview.
I mean, I don't want Padraig Harrington to be that harshly punished. You know, I just want to hear more about what he thinks went down, and this is the best way.
Right, we'll see. Lawrence Onigan and Malachy Clerkin are going to be in the show tomorrow. We're going to tease this out much further. We're going to talk more about Harrington, McIlroy, Lowry. There's a lot of stuff to talk about from this Ryder Cup, even though it was incredibly anticlimactic. I still feel like there's a lot of stuff that we still have to say. It's kind of a funny one.
And I feel like the narrative around the... And I'll be really interested to hear what Lawrence says about this, right? But I'm very interested in this narrative around the US team, which is basically... They got rid of all, you know, all the pricks that ensured that they lost all of the Ryder Cups, all of those Ryder Cups over the last 20 years. They've gotten rid of all those guys. This is a brand new team, brand new players. It's a whole new era. And then the conversation switches to, well, who's going to captain this Ryder Cup team for the next 15 or 20? It's like all those guys that they bombed out of the team room this year are now going to be coming back, joining the queue to become Ryder Cup captains. And how they handle that, I think, is going to be pretty bloody interesting.
Doesn't matter. Look how young all the players are. You could captain them.
If the Ryder Cup captain has actually any, you know, input into who wins and loses.
Well, they do. We know Steve Stricker, golfing genius, Padraig Harrington, legacy destroyed. He practically said it himself ahead of the tournament to Harrington. So there you go. Talk more about that for our World Service members tomorrow. €5 a month plus VAT to sign up to hear all of our conversations on the Second Captain's World Service. And you can sign up on secondcaptains.com. Thanks, Ken. Thanks, Ciarán.
Thank you, Owen. And thank you, Ciarán.
Thank you, Ken. And thank you, Owen. And thank you, Europe.
Thank you, Europe. You didn't totally disgrace yourselves. Well, you did, but...
Because together, we are all Team Europe.
Team Europe.
Team Europe.
Team Europe.
Team Europe.
Team Europe.
Which one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
They did not war.
and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.